Morning, everybody. If you will, let's open up to Psalm 67. Psalm 67. Lord willing, next Sunday we'll have a meal following the messages. Hopefully I remember to remind you again, bring what you like. Psalm 67. My title is not in my text that I want to focus on, but it just follows right after, and I thought it was perfect. I don't want to be provocative, but I do want to provoke thought. I want people to see a title. I don't get a title and then get a message. That's wanting to have something to say and finding a word of God to have it to prove your point. That's a horrible way of coming up with messages. Find Christ in the text, and then if we get a title, maybe, maybe not. Or just Psalm 67 and leave it alone. That's what your text is. But I want to be real short this morning. I've worked real hard at that. I think it'll be, I'm hoping. I've tried a lot of different things. I hope this will be good for you. I want to be brief and I want to be as plain as I can be. When Peter preached and there's 5,000 saved, you can read that whole sermon in a minute and a half. So if it be just a couple of words and the Lord's pleased to bless it and to keep our attention and open our hearts up, He'll bless it. And I hope so. The title of my message is Christian Healthcare. I hear the word Christian tossed around as much as I hear hey or hello. And healthcare, I hear that a whole lot. Everybody talks about their doctor's appointments and their illnesses and their concerns of their body. Christian healthcare. Look here at verse 2, Psalm 67, verse 2. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. The Lord has a saving health. He gives us health. He makes us whole. He makes us complete, truly healthy because we're sick. I remember last year, Kimberly got sick, and I was talking to my boss at work, and he said, I'll pray for complete and total healing. I said, don't. One, where'd you get that from? What mantra of religion did you get that phrase? And do you know what that even means? If she's made complete and total healing, that means she's made like Christ. And she's going to be happy, and I'll be happy for her, but I want to keep her for a little while. I want a wife for a few more decades if he'll be pleased. Lord heals. He has a health care. Do you know that? If we're in Him, we're sick. He's the great physician. He heals us. And it says there in the beginning of verse 2, that thy way may be known upon earth. Well, this saving health that all the nations are going to be made to see. Something's got to happen. It says that. Something's going to have to take place before this happens. But what's the first thing in this health? That's being made whole, this truly healthy that we need to know about. Look here in verse 1. David writes here in Psalm 67, verse 1. God be merciful unto us. God be merciful unto us. I know everyone wants to be blessed. We'll get to that in a minute. But the first thing sang in this song here and how the Lord's going to get glory through all the nations, and they're going to declare He's King, and He's going to receive all praises, is for Him to be merciful to us. Mercy. Mercy. Do we remember what mercy is, you young people or old people? Not getting what you deserve. There was something we deserved, and mercy's us not getting that. That's that. Paul said in Romans 6, the wages of sin is death. A wage is something you earn. If you go to work and you get a job and you give your time, your skill, and your ability for however many hours, the employer pays you. That's your wage. You earned it. It's right. That's just normal. Don't think nothing of it. You're not guilty when you go get your paycheck on Friday. Well, you work for it. That's what you get. We ought not be surprised. I wish mankind wouldn't be surprised when they meet a holy God. And the wages of our sin and our hatred of Christ and not believing Him is worthy of eternal death and damnation. Paul just worded it real shortly, the wages of sin or death. And where did he get that from? Turn over to Ezekiel 18. To the right a few books. Ezekiel 18. If you get to Daniel, you went too far. Ezekiel 18, verse 4. Lord speaketh through Ezekiel here to children of Israel. Ezekiel 18, verse 4. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. It shall die. An eternal death. We need eternal life, don't we? How are we going to live? Verse 5. But if a man be just and do that which is lawful and right, and hath not eaten upon the mountains, neither hath lifted up his eyes to idols of the house of Israel, neither hath defiled his neighbor's wife, neither hath come near to a menstruous woman, and hath not oppressed any, but hath restored the debtor to his pledge, and hath spoiled none by violence, hath given his bread to the hungry, and hath covered the naked in his garment. He that hath not given forth upon usury, neither hath taken any increase, that hath withdrawn his hand from iniquity, he hath executed truth, judgment, true judgment between man and man, hath walked in my statutes, and hath kept my judgments to deal truly. That's a lot. All that. He is just. He shall surely live, saith the Lord God. Who is that man? I hope that rules out everybody born of Adam. Did something get you in that? Anything? He's the Holy One, isn't he? Paul goes on. He says there in Romans 6, the soul that sinneth it shall die. He goes, but the gift of God is eternal life. Tell me about that. I need some mercy. How are we going to have, how's this going to be right? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. How can this be just? That's a good health care program, but somebody's got to pay for it. Ain't nothing free. You get that? Grace is us getting something that we didn't deserve, freely given. It's freely given to us on our part. That come at the great cost of Christ's blood, didn't it? How can we be made that just, man? We have to be in Christ and through Him, through His birth, His life, and His death, and His payment for sin, and His resurrection. That's how we're made just. We're in Him. He gets all the glory for that. You see that? How could that be legitimate? He had to be made sin who knew no sin. And then that wage was His. My wage that I earned. I earned all of it. I did it. And it was laid on Him. He took that. I can't do that for somebody else. That's not possible with man. Somebody else murder somebody, I can't go sit in that jail cell for him and actually take the guilt. I can't do that. God can. What's impossible for man, all things are possible for God. And He bore me, that feminine noun, sin. That, a bride's a feminine noun too, isn't it? He bore His bride. And we were made the righteousness of God in Him. How can I be all these things in Ezekiel 18 that do that and you can live? It's got to be in Him. I have to be attached to Him. I have to be married to Him. I have to be given His name and His life and His robe of righteousness and His smell. We got to smell like Him. The Lord said, that's what I'm going to do. You can't do that. I can. Because He wanted to, didn't He? We need mercy. We need mercy. You can't cry for mercy if you ain't done nothing wrong. I mean, you might be able to get a little bit of pardon or something. Like, well, there's a couple of things I didn't do that was just great. I'm a teetotal enemy. Man said that one time, said, I never did hate God. You didn't hate your God. We'll look next hour. This is the God. He delights to show mercy. And that's what we need. Complete mercy. That Pharisee prayed to himself. And you know what he said? What did the Pharisee say? All the things he did. Well, you know what I've done? Now, I've done this and I've done that. And I've fasted twice a week. And I've planted churches in poor countries. And he didn't say all those things. But he said, we was Him, wasn't it? We think of things we do. Let's put it in our shoe leather. Not a theological fact. God be with us and show us. I did good things. I ain't like everybody else. Now, I've done some bad stuff, but for the most part, and I thank you, God, for letting me air my wonderfulness in front of you. We laugh, it's us. If we own mirrors, we've seen that Pharisee. God says so. What did the other one do? That mafioso, that criminal. He cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Lord said, one of those men went down to his house justified. It was that one. Others will say, Lord, think of all the things we've done for you. We've cast out demons, your name. We went down to the food bank and fed poor people. We did good stuff. He said, get away from me. I never knew you. And then the other ones said, he said, you fed me when I was hungry. You come visit me in prison. Lord, when we see you in prison? I don't know what you're talking about. I don't remember none of that. He said, you did at least these you done to me. Buddy. The Lord delights to show mercy. But it on our side, it's got to be revealed in us that we're guilty and we need mercy. Why would you ask for something you don't need? I don't need 2 cycle oil. I've got 10 little containers. That'll probably last me 30 years down in my basement. I went to go buy one the other day and I had a whole stockpile. I don't need it. People say, well, I'd like to have some mercy. You need it? You cry out for it? Lord, thou show us we need mercy. Then we call out, Lord, we need mercy. And you know, that's a great grace of God to show us that we need mercy. If he'd do it, we'd have a whole different attitude on everything we do. It would affect us in everything we do in this life. It'll affect how you deal with SDG&E. That's called God working. If I did something, you might memorize a line, and you might recall it once a month. If the Lord does something, you're going to be able to tell. What's the first step in Christian health care? A need for health. We're sick. That great physician, he's got to be merciful. He's got to take our case. And if somebody's really sick, he takes all cases. Back in our text or in Psalm 67, here's step 2. Verse 1. It's good to take these things in little bits where there's punctuation and consider it. God tells us to. Look at the end of verse 1. Selah. That's a musical notation to take a breath. You know, sometimes you're singing and it ain't in the music to stop a little bit, but that one playing the piano goes, I got to breathe too. I'm singing along. That's why I say, if you're going to play something, sing with it. You got to kind of catch your breath a little bit. That's a musical term for that, but we ought to stay there and catch our breath. Lord says, pause. Consider this deeply. So it's good for us to go these little bits at a time. Verse 1. God be merciful unto us. We need mercy. And bless us. Bless us. Don't just only be merciful to us. Bless us. What is it to be blessed? Is it a bumper sticker? He is greater than I. And all the catchphrases that mankind comes up to show how good I was that I spent $2.99 and bought a bumper sticker. Or what church I go to on my back glass. And is that blessed? Is having money in the bank or having all your children at home and everybody happy and you don't owe the IRS nothing and law ain't after you? Nobody's breathing down your neck. Is that blessed? Is our eyes bugging out with fatness? Is that blessed? David said he was jealous, wasn't he? He said, boy, I got it easy. Ain't nobody persecuting them. He said, I was jealous. And that bothered me until I went to the house of the Lord and I saw their end. What is it to be blessed? Here in Psalm 32, if you want to look with me. Verse 1. Psalm 32:1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered, who there's therefore now no condemnation. The emotionalism of that and the feelings that are associated to that, it does not matter. There's days I'll be overwhelmed with just amazement that this is even possible. And there's days I'm overwhelmed with joy, and it's a fearful thing. Lord's put away our sin, just in awe. There's times I don't even have a reaction to it, but it's so. That's what the comfort is. It don't matter what I think, feel, or my security and my assurance in that. It matters that God said it. Not me, Him. If I'm worried about it, I'm worried about me. I'm looking to me. I'm not looking to Him. Blessed is the man whom the Lord, unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there's no guile. The Lord doesn't impute iniquity. Do we remember what that means, imputation? It's an accounting term. It's a declaration of what's there. So if you start with elementary math with little kids, if Johnny has 3 apples, he can't give somebody 5 apples. He ain't got 5 apples. But just saying Johnny has 3 apples, that's imputation. You're just saying what's there. I didn't put 3 apples in Johnny's account. I'm not a banker. I just said there's 3 apples there. That's imputation. The Lord will not look upon me and see any apples, any sin. He won't account them, and He ain't even going to remember it anymore. Why? There's none there. It's been put away as far as the east is from the west. Gone. Gone. Turn over to Psalm 103 if you want to see it. Look here in verse 10. Look at verse 7 first. This is where we're getting into it. I hope the Lord blesses us in these things. He says, He's made known His ways unto Moses and His acts unto the children of Israel. I don't want to just see Him work. I don't want to just see the Lord build a local assembly here with 2,000 people in it. I don't want to just see the Lord save people and give them a new creation and a whole new person. I don't want to just see the acts. I want to know His ways. I want to know Him. I want to have the mind of Christ in me. Don't you? I don't want to just see the lame walk. I want this lame man to walk. I want to know about it. I want to know He did it. Look at verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. That wage we earned, that didn't land on us. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. All right, mercy we asked for, that first part. Will be merciful unto us. That mercy we need is higher than the heavens. A great sinner needs a great Savior, don't they? As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is, He says, from the ends of the earth. Where's the end of the earth? We're on a globe. It's round. How far is it? You can go north and eventually you'll hit a pole and you'll start going south. If I go east, I can keep going east for eons, and I'm never going to start going west if I keep going east. It's gone. Forever gone. Forever gone. What do people do if the Lord's revealed this to them? He's been merciful to them, and He's blessed them and showed them that their transgressions have been put away. They've been put in Christ, and all those things required of Him has been satisfied. Psalm 40, verse 4 says, "Blessed is man that maketh the Lord his trust." We trust Him. How could you trust Him? You believe Him. And that's the Lord's doing too. We believe on Him. And He said so. And I believe it. I'm wrong. He said so. I believe. He's right. He said so. I believe it. He saved the people. Gave them a love for Christ because He first loved them. And He's going to keep us no matter what. And be made just like Him. Conform to His image. I don't want to go to heaven. I want to go to where Christ is. What mankind calls heaven. I want to go to Him, capital H heaven. If that's in a tent in a desert somewhere or in a lush jungle, I don't care. I want to be where He is. They trust Him. I tell you what, people that the Lord's looked at, they trust Him and they rejoice in Him. They rejoice in Him. The blessed rejoice. And to the whole world, we turn over to Matthew 5. What this world says is somebody's blessed ain't nothing like what the Lord says a blessed person is. If we saw somebody the Lord said, that's a blessed person, that's mine, you'd say, that's everything opposite of what I would call blessed. It looks like they're in shambles. Yeah, we've decreased and He's increased, hasn't He? from the mind that's descended of Adam, from our flesh. A true blessed person does not look like someone that we would naturally call blessed. Look here in Matthew 5, verse 2. And he opened his mouth and taught them. Lord, teach us this. I want to be taught something. I don't know everything. Teach me what a blessed man is, Lord. Verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart. What heart? The new heart he gives us, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. That's what the meek, Moses was the meekest man on earth. Ain't got nothing to do with weakness. I thought of them prophets, they call them the minor prophets. I was reading a lot of Jonah this week. I wouldn't tell Jonah he's too minor. He may bop us one, huh? What's this, the peacemaker? People say, well, people want to make peace. They don't like going to war. They're weak. No, they're not. Peace has been made in their hearts. How can somebody show mercy unless the Lord showed us mercy? How can we love unless the Lord loves us? We don't know nothing about it. How can we want peace if we never experienced peace? We've just been fighting from birth, either to win God's favor or to indebt him to us or to get along or whatever. Just constant contention all the time. If we ever have peace, we'll want peace. We want to make more of it. Like, this is good. You're going to love it. Peacemaker. For they should be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. For theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you. Who's the blessed person? Well, you're probably going to get reviled. And persecute you. You're going to be persecuted. And shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. And not just because you're mean and they ought to say mean things about you, but for my sake, for the gospel's sake, for Christ's sake, because of who you believe. You tell God, tell people God's on his throne and he saved the people, and them people are sinners and they know about it. And they're going to keep being sinners, and the outside of the cup ain't going to clean up as much as they wish it would, and they're still going to fall, and they're still going to do terrible things. And God's going to save them anyway, and he's going to be glorified in it. People, cut your throat for that. Now, if you have a spaghetti dinner and say we all love Jesus, that's fine. You ain't that ain't fellowship. That's fellow ocean treaders. You're just waiting to go down. The ones in that boat, buddy, the ones in the water don't like it. The Lord said that's a blessing. It ain't fun. He said it's a blessing. He's blessed. And what are we going to do with all that? Now we're just going to cry all the way home and sad because our plight in life. Verse 12. Rejoice! And be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. They persecuted me, the Lord said. What do you think is going to happen to you? What do you think? That's a blessed person, isn't it? Blessed. Step one, what is it? In this health care, we need mercy. Step two, Lord, bless us. Bless us. Not the way we want to be blessed. Bless us the way it pleases you to bless us. Not according to what my wants are, according to your wants. Now back in our text. Psalm 67, verse 1. This is to the chief musician on Neginoth. That's a multiple stringed instruments. Could you imagine? But there are some talented musicians there, and they're getting to sing this. It don't rhyme well because it's been translated to English, but we'll sing this one day. God be merciful to us, unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. Stop thinking, but cause your face to shine upon us. Be merciful to us, Lord. I want to have mercy. I need mercy. I need to be blessed. I need to be blessed. I don't need to have a haughty, proud spirit. I need to be brought down. I don't need to be hard and judgmental. I need to be merciful. I don't need to want to take everybody to task and correct every little wrong I see. I need to be a peacemaker. I need mercy. I need to be blessed. And I need to see his face. I need to rejoice and trust him. And I want to see his face. I want his face to shine upon me. I want his face to shine upon us. And what is that? When is that? That's daily, isn't it? Daily. I need to see the Lord exalted, high and lifted up. I need to see him on his throne. What terrors the day would hold. What anxiety there would be in not looking to a sovereign God on his throne, and I could just be at the roll of the dice for the rest of the day. Airplane might fall and land on my head. I need to see him interceding for me first thing in the morning. It's good. Seek him early while he may be found. Call on him while he's near. Before I roll out of bed, Lord, let me know today is ordained just for me, for my good and for your glory. That's the important part. Whatever comes to pass. I need to see that. I need to see your face in all these things. I need that daily, but to be known, I want to know him as he knows me. But I can't do that yet, can I? In eternity, I need to see his face. Not his courts of judgment. Not his law that I've done nothing but break my whole life. I need to see him. I need to be made like him. I need to smell like him. I want to think like him. I need to think like him. I need to be taught by him. And we're going to have to go through all this darkness first. And then we'll have that mercy revealed to us. We'll experience it now. We have an earnest payment. We got a down payment on these things. We have faith. We believe. That's the evidence of things not seen. The Lord's been merciful to us because we know we've cried out for it. And he's blessed us. He has. I've lacked nothing. And I know in that final day I'll lack nothing because I'm in him. I know that. And that's daily. We have moments of darkness. And throughout a lifetime we'll have seasons of darkness. And we have this life, which we're born in darkness. And he reveals his face to us. And then finally we'll come out of this world. And there'll be no more darkness and no more tears. Said in Isaiah 54, for a small moment I've forsaken thee. Lord forsook me until I was about 17 years old, 18 years old. And then he revealed his son to me. You get that? He wasn't forsaken. He's using words we can understand. He hadn't revealed himself to me. I was in darkness until then. And then with great mercies, he says, I'll gather thee. In a little wrath, I hid my face from thee for a moment. That was the whole time before he revealed himself to me. And then that's now, too, after I've known him. There's times I just feel so dark and down, and or way worse than feeling dark and down. There's a lot of times I feel real happy. Everything's going smooth, and I ain't looking at him. He's hid his face from me for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. I'll keep you. We've asked him. He said he'll do it. You're going to ask me to do it. What will we see when the Lord shows us mercy and blesses us and makes his face to shine upon us? Well, it's not a what, it's a who. Who? Paul said, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for his sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. That's, you ever step outside and it's cold in the shade, and then you step in the sun that warms you up? If he shined his light, his face in our hearts, you're going to have a burning heart. It's going to be warm. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What's his face? To see God's glory, the glory of his grace magnified on the person and work of his son. That's it. Who gets all the glory for that? The one that shows mercy, that blesses, and that reveals it. All the salvation and acceptation, being accepted, is in him. God does that. And he's manifest in the body. The Father's a spirit, and the Holy Ghost is a spirit. And they're manifest. This great Godhead is equal. It's not, we always think, naturally, mankind thinks there's the Father, and then he has a son, and then somewhere over here is a secretary or something. That's the Holy Ghost. No, those three are one, and it's manifest in the human body. And we're going to look him face to face. Look him eye to eye. Being made like him. That'll be a day one. Throw over number six, and I'll let you go. Number six. Verse 22. I hope we remember these things from Exodus also. That remember Moses said, I can't talk with him. The Lord said, who made the mouth? But he allowed that to happen. It would be a picture of Christ. He said, I'm going to tell you, and you're going to tell Aaron, and Aaron's going to say it for you. Remember? Well, here's that coming to pass. Number six. The Lord spake, I'm sorry, number six, verse 22. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his son, saying, on this wise shall ye bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious to thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. I will bless them. Let's pray together. Father, be merciful to us. You revealed to us our sin, not believing Christ. Lord, we believe, help our unbelief. Be merciful and bless us. Lord, give us a broken and contrite heart that you came to heal. And make us forgiving and long-suffering and peacemakers. And Lord, teach us to mourn and to lean on your Son. And cause your face, the face of our Redeemer, to shine on us. Let us look to him, Lord, and keep us as you promised you will. It's because of Christ we ask it. Amen. All right, we'll meet back at 10:30.